Last week in worship, we heard that it's all about location, location, location. It's what underlies Advent's promises, proclamations, and prophecies. It was that first Advent that Christ made his location to be one of us, to take upon himself our sins and our shame, and sharing with us his name. And no matter what location you find yourself, he intentionally intends to share himself through you. That was last week's sermon. I said it quicker than Pastor Kreitzer did, but if you want to catch the whole thing on the podcast, you can take a listen to it again. But this morning, we're going to take a look at Advent is also about cancellation, celebration, and conversation. In the spirit of the Christmas season, there's a woman named Mary. Not the one from the Bible, but this is a one who lived on the East Coast. And she wanted to put up some new lights on her house. So she went to the store. She bought string after string of new lights. She spent the entire weekend putting up all of the lights on her house. Clark Griswold would have been proud. If you don't get that, you should watch that movie. Seeing her house at night, she was just overjoyed. The only thing she wondered is that would it be a good investment? And what would the electric bill be at the end of the month? Hopefully the bill wouldn't be a burden upon the family budget. Well, a little bit later in that season, Mary received her first bill, and as she looked through the email, her eyes got huge. She took a look, and she dug through the figures. She saw lots of figures. In fact, the bill said that she owed $284,460,000,000. She thought, perhaps I didn't put the lights up right. Perhaps I messed up somewhere. She hadn't. Everything had been done correctly. As she scanned her bill, she noticed that she had a couple of different options. She could pay the bill off in full this month, or she could do monthly payments. She decided for the second. And she scratched out a check for $28,156. To make a long story short, Mary appealed her bill with the electric company. And quickly, the embarrassed electric company quickly adjusted her bill to where it should have been, $284.46, which she got a return on her $21,000 or $28,000 check. Now, I like that story. I like that story because it deals with a debt that is so absurdly large, it could never be run up by an individual, let alone paid, whether in a lump sum or by monthly payments. I think Jesus might have liked that story too. You heard the text read for you just a few minutes ago from Matthew, the 11th chapter. If you have your worship folders, we're going to be focusing on that first part of that message. And if you've been following along the gospel readings week after week here in Easter, don't really necessarily seem to fit the season that we have decorated for. As we are here in this place, we have a lighted tree and garland. We have wreaths and everything is strung up and beautifully decorated for Christmas. But we're still in the season of Advent, the season of expectation. We're still there. Yes, we get some peaks at Christmas. We got a great peak last week at the concert. Thank you very much. That was fantastic. We get continual peaks as we see maybe a manger scene on the road, or maybe you set one up in your home. But Advent is about location, that Jesus Christ is with us. He intentionally shares himself so that we would be located with him forever, and we wait for him to come back. It's a time of hopeful expectation. We know that our bill has been paid, that Christ has done it all. You don't need to make a lump sum payment, or you don't need to pay week after week, for Christ has done it all. And if that sounds like it's too good to be true, you're in some good company. In our gospel lesson for today, John the Baptist thought that perhaps this message of Jesus was too good to be true. John's in prison. He can't get out to have a conversation with Christ. And even though John knows that he had been called by God to prepare the way for the Messiah, it seems that now, as he's in prison, he's doubting the news. He's wondering. He's got some questions. So John sends his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who's coming, or should we look for someone else?" You see, sin had blinded John to the message that even he had been sent to proclaim, to make straight the paths for the Messiah, to prepare the way for the Lord, to repent. And doubts begin to devour his faith and get into his heart, and he finds himself in a dark place. John the Baptist, that one who, when he was in the womb, leapt when he was near his cousin Jesus, was also in the womb. John is now wondering, questioning, doubting. Are you the one who's coming, or should we look for someone else? You know, it's a familiar tune. It's played out in countless lives since John's. Is Jesus the one, or should we be looking for someone else? Is all of this stuff true? Why do we find ourselves gathered here day in and day out to hear the song sung and the text read if it's not even true? You know, the devil and this world are going to try as they might to convince you that our waiting is in vain, that there is no Savior of the world who walked on this earth, let alone who's coming again. So it's foolishness to wait and to watch and to worship. So we wonder. I think it's interesting what Jesus does with this question. He engages in some conversation. "Go back and tell John what you see and what you hear." And what was that? The blind received their sight, the lame walked, the diseases were cured, the deaf could hear again, the dead were brought back to life, and the poor heard the good news of the gospel. Now, I'm sure John's disciples were astute enough to know that Jesus is quoting the prophet Isaiah. And that when this would happen, there would be a grand celebration in all of creation. You heard it read in our Old Testament lesson. There's a cancellation of the curse that goes all the way back to creation. The promise of salvation given to our first parents. The forgiveness of a debt that humanity has been carrying around for generations. A debt so absurdly large, we could never pay it off. We can't even make installment payments on it. It's the fulfillment of prophecy. That's why Jesus came. So that the dead can be raised back to life. It's why Advent is so important. The message that John's disciples took back to him was amazing. Now, I'd love to be there for that conversation. This is what your cousin said. And John heard the words of the prophet again. The fulfillment of prophecy. And in this moment where the Messiah is, there's cancellation of sin and there's celebration. All of creation will celebrate. You see, John needed to hear once again that the good news of the Messiah had come. He needed to come face to face with the one who had come to cancel his debt, to open his blind eyes, to set him on his feet again, to cure the disease of sin, to unstop his ears from the message that even when he is dead in sin, poor in spirit, rotting in a jail cell, the good news is proclaimed to him. And that faith given to him in that moment is celebrated. That joy that he had as he leapt in the womb when he came in the presence of Christ, John needed to hear again. And so do we. We need to hear it again and again and again. It brings blessing beyond measure. Whoever doesn't lose his faith in me is indeed blessed. Now, of course, Jesus could have thrown his cousin under the bus at this moment. All right, people, don't be like that crazy guy, John. He found himself in jail, but if you look at the text, he doesn't. He celebrates the ministry of John. And he says not only is he blessed, but everyone else is blessed as well from this ministry of the Messiah. Cancellation brings about celebration initiated by conversation. And in this text, we find the life of the Christian. Cancellation, which brings about celebration initiated by conversation. Conversation on the front end, that first time you heard that message. And conversation on the back end as you share that message with one another. As you intentionally find a way to share. But no doubt you've had times like John in our text, wondering, waiting, hoping, praying that Jesus is the one, that Jesus is the Savior, that I haven't wasted my entire time. What do you see and what do you hear? Here in this place, you encounter the divine in word and in worship. And you, like John, have a safe place to maybe ask a few questions. It's okay if you don't have it all figured out. Are you the one that we should be waiting for? Or is there someone else? And Jesus invites you into that conversation as well. What do you see? What do you hear? Here in this place, Christ promises that he will be. Here in this place, the blind see, the lame walk, the sinful are made clean, the deaf hear, the dead are brought back to life, and all those who are poor in spirit hear the good news that in Christ your sin is forgiven. Your debt has been paid. Cancellation, celebration, conversation. So perhaps I want to ask, what are those things that are blinding you? What are those things that make you unclean? What are those things that make it hard for you to hear the voice of Jesus? Where you find yourself doubting that this is all really true. In your sin, you are dead. But in this place, there's life. In this place, there is life. For you have a debt so absurdly large, you could never pay it off. But in Christ, your debt is canceled. Your sin is forgiven. Creation celebrates. And you're invited into conversations to intentionally share the good news with others. If you think about it, that's kind of what the shepherds did, right? They heard the good news from the angel, and they hurried to the place where the babe was. And they found him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. But they didn't just stay there. What did they do? They went and they told everyone what they had seen and heard. Same for the Magi. Those who traveled from the east following the star come to worship Jesus, bringing him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And as they leave to take the message to the far-off lands that there is a new king. King of salvation, King of the world. But it's not just in the Christmas story. The woman at the well did the same thing. as she came encountering Jesus Christ, as she said, "He told me everything about me," what did she do? She went and intentionally shared with all those in the town, those who had cut her off, those who didn't think she was worth hanging around. Cancellation, celebration, conversation. It's also the story of Anna and Simeon, who waited for the consolation of Israel. And as that baby comes to the temple, there's a reminder that in the Messiah there is cancellation. So we see celebration and then conversation. O Lord, let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. Cancellation, celebration, conversation. No matter what doubts you're having, no matter the fears you are facing, no matter the sin you are hiding, no matter the questions you are wondering, your sin too has been canceled on account of Christ. That calls for some celebration, and it calls for some conversation. Jesus reminds his cousin in the midst of his doubts and his questions, and he promises to remind you in the midst of your doubts and your questions. He does so in water and in word, in bread and in wine, that you are his precious child. And he calls you into conversation. What do you see? What do you hear? Friends, let me tell you, I've seen the dead come back to life here in this place. So I've held a small baby over the waters, and in those words, the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the dead come back to life. I see here in this place those with questions who are unconditionally loved. I see in this place the poor provided with all that they need. I've been witnessed as the sick have been healed, the blind have received sight, the deaf are able to hear the voice of the promised Messiah. And that is something to celebrate and to share intentionally, to have deep conversations, that what takes place here is exactly what Isaiah said would take place through the Messiah. And as the Messiah came to have his advent among us, he did so again, and he will do it again when he comes again. For Advent's about cancellation, celebration, and conversation. So I invite you to share intentionally, to find ways to intentionally share the promises, the proclamations, and the prophecies of Advent. That our God is a God of location, of cancellation, of celebration, and of conversation. And no matter where you find yourself, you are located with Christ. And in that, there's a grand celebration. And that's something to have a conversation about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to have his advent among us. Lord, we know that we have a debt that is so absurdly large that we could never pay it. We continually to be indebted to you because of our sins of thought, word, and deed. But Lord, we are sorry for these sins, and we repent of them, and we ask that in your mercy you would forgive us on account of Christ. Lord, we thank you that in Christ we find cancellation from sin. Lord, help us to be a part of that celebration that happens in heaven and on earth when one sinner repents. And Lord, call us into conversation to tell others what we see and what we hear in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.